Well, that independent inquiry into the workplace culture of Parliament House will be led by Australia's Sex Discrimination Commissioner, Kate Jenkins. A short time ago, I asked her about the scope of her investigation.
We've been asked to look at the experience in Commonwealth parliamentary workplaces. So it covers parliamentarians, their staff, and it also covers Parliament House as a workplace. So it'll include electoral offices as well, and in particular looking at safety and respect and experiences of sexual harassment, sexual assault and bullying, and creating safer workplaces.
Who do you want to hear from, and can you compel people to speak to you?
We're open for submissions and we'll do interviews for anyone actually that wants to talk to us. We won't be compelling anyone, but we know there's a big appetite to share experiences. So we expect to hear from current and former staff and parliamentarians. And also there's lots of organisations and people who've really actively been interested in improving our parliament as a workplace and who have expertise that we will be talking to. So we've already opened our website for people to register or share their views, and that will be done on a confidential basis, assuming people, you know, really want to contribute but don't always want to have others to know, you know, their identity or what their concerns are.
What can a review achieve in terms of cultural and procedural change?
Yes, the intention of the review is to look at overall reform, looking at what are the underlying drivers and systemic factors, how key parts of the environment can be changed, and hearing from people's experiences really helps you identify what are the weaknesses in the system and how that can be upgraded. We know from other circumstances that cultural reform does require sort of a comprehensive look at what the drivers are, and then looking at what you can do to prevent inappropriate conduct, but also what you can do to better respond when it happens to make sure that staff are safe and feel supported and are able to do the best at work. So I expect at the end of this inquiry, it will be a report with wide-ranging recommendations about how complaints processes work and what, you know, how the conditions of employment in Parliament House are arranged and whether there's improvements that can be made, and also just broader feedback reflecting our Respect at Work inquiry about sexual harassment in the workplace and the drivers and the things we can do differently to prevent it for everyone.
Do you think this investigation will deliver anything substantially different from your earlier national inquiry into sexual harassment in the workplace, which you handed down exactly 12 months ago?
This investigation, in my mind, is the natural consequence of that larger national inquiry. That inquiry looked at all workplaces, it looked at all of our laws and right across the country, how sexual harassment works. And one of the things that we identified was that the best way to combat sexual harassment and sexual assault at work, and bullying as well, is to take an industry by industry approach and really understand that while sexual harassment is a problem in lots of workplaces, the risk factors differ from industry to industry and really require a much wider engagement. It's not one bad bloke in one bad, you know, situation. And what this inquiry is doing is really taking an industry approach, and crucially it's got cross-party and independent support. So all the players have all committed to try and move this agenda forward, which really creates, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity really for us to improve our parliamentary workplace.
Does measuring the prevalence or the depth of poor culture mean much? I mean, if there's a problem, there's a problem, right? So how do you quantify the problem?
It's actually really crucial, because I think a lot of people, and particularly people in power, assume that these problems don't exist. So when you start measuring or understanding what is happening on the ground, then you can both recognise if it's a problem, but also understand the nature. So your solutions are targeted towards the nature of the problem that you're dealing with. But measurement isn't the only thing. It will be really important that we consider the drivers and what are the systemic barriers. And when I talk about that, the structural things like who is employed, who has power over who. The reality is the biggest driver of sexual harassment is power disparity. And there's no question that the centre of our parliamentary system in Canberra, is a place where there is significant power disparity between junior staffers and some of the most senior politicians in the country.
Stepping away from this inquiry and looking at the developments and revelations of the past few weeks, are we at a turning point?
I believe we are, and I think it's not just in Parliament. I feel like we're at a turning point across our community, and it's a welcome turning point. There have been increasing conversations about violence against women, sexual harassment, sexual assault, family violence in this country for a number of years now, and I think the education of our community, the true understanding of the nature of the problem is really growing. And I think that is why we are seeing, even in the last 12 months, there's issues in the High Court, we were seeing issues in the corporate world, and now in Parliament, to really understand that gender inequality is still something that's alive and well, and violence against women is something that we need to, we need to not assume it's gone away. We need to take some proactive steps to ensure that men and women are equally able to safely participate in our community.
Kate Jenkins, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Emily.
Australia's Sex Discrimination Commissioner, Kate Jenkins.